This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust,
Rose,
and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on to your next topic, we just want to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. Plus, there are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, and it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor FM to get started.
Love HBO Divorce? So do we! We're here talking episode 8. Join us.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
I like it. It's great.
Good pick.
She don't throw any t-shirt on.
Very nice.
Walk to the bar.
Do you know this? Not really, but I like the tone. I like the mood.
It's Dirk Bentley, and it's a song called Different for Girls, and he's a country artist. And if you've listened to any country recently, it sounds a lot like pop.
Oh, okay. Because it sounds like it could be in the show.
Yeah.
That's why I was like, it wasn't, right?
It's Different for Girls.
Oh, I like it. This is perfect for this episode because it's like how they're handling it differently.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's a great song and there's a lot of truth in it. And it talks about when their hearts get broken, what guys do. And when their hearts gets broken, what girls do.
Perfect.
And if you listen to the song, which is great, again, it's Dirk Bentley, Different for Girls. A guy goes, they talk about the guy can like get ready and want to go to a bar and say to his friends, I've got to get laid tonight. Whereas a girl might be just sleeping all day, not leaving her house. And of course, ask a couple guys I knew, would this be something a guy would do? Like, yeah, they're going to get over it very different. And I think we saw a lot of this in this episode, episode 8, season 1 of HBO Divorce. I think one of the best episodes we've seen. Hands down, correct?
Excellent. They're just getting better and better.
They are getting better. And especially, I think this had a lot to do with the director. In this case, it was a gal named Beth McCarthy Miller, who was the director of SNL for 11 years. She's just directed tons of TV, comedic, from Community to 30 Rock. So she's very strong in this genre. And I think she nailed the tone that they've been trying to get all season.
Yes, absolutely. There were a lot of, you know, there's never anything like tripping and fall. It's not like that kind of comedy. Yeah. It's just a very smart, subtle comedy that it's so well done. And it's amazing how every episode I'm like, no, I can't believe it's coming to the end. I love every episode more and more.
You know what?
I loved last
time. I do too. And I think particularly with this episode, there was a certain poignancy. And there is a little bit of comedy, but it was kind of what you would call sad comedy. And just a little shout out to the writer here. It's a guy named Hayes Davenport, and it's a writer who has not written so far on this show, but he, again, is a strong comedic writer, very prolific. He's written for Family Guy and Vice Principals, and he also co-hosts a podcast called Hollywood Handbook that I checked out, which is pretty funny. So the two of them, I think, made a great team.
Yeah.
And let's just kick it off right now. The opening montage was really kind of funny because it shows Francis cleaning out the space where Robert was and coming across some funny stuff like these really busty pictures of Julia Roberts, which is hilarious, and just being like, oh, gross. And then it shows, of course, Robert just kind of kickboxing and living in that home he's working on. And just, of course, Sarah Jessica Parker. Did you love her outfit when she's cleaning up?
Oh, and she was in those like cargo pants.
Yeah, with the boots. I'm like, of course she looks awesome cleaning
Anything
up.
She wears, she looks amazing.
I know. So isn't that a funny montage?
Oh, yeah. That's exactly, and I made that exact note. The different ways that they're both healing.
Exactly.
She's cleaning out, which is something, you know, if we want to stereotype is something the woman would do. And she's the one who's in the house. So this is her, like, therapy. And she finds the business forms envelope, which do not contain business forms, as we saw.
What was that?
That's what it said. It was the Julia Roberts.
That's hilarious.
And then, yes, of course, he's, like, getting physically strong in his mind and, you know, changing his appearance. And, yeah, it's just amazing how... You can say that, you know, cleaning is kind of an internal, it was an internal cleaning, and that's what women do. We kind of go introspective and we clean house.
Yeah.
And for men, or particularly in this case, it, the whole process has been such an affront to his manhood that now he's got to improve himself outwardly, change his clothes and change the way he looks physically. So he feels that he has to improve that way, and that's how he's healing. So it was a really, you know... It was an interesting dichotomy that was so well done, as the show does everything so well.
And I think that they can, a lot of people can relate to this too. Moving on, the next...
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
If you did catch the episode, it was, again, a great episode. And one of my favorite actresses was in, like, the second scene where you see, of course, Frances out at a gallery. And there's this great actress named Sarita Chaudhary, who, of course, if you are a fan of Homeland, she does play Saul's wife, Mira. And she's been a favorite actress of mine a lot. I don't know why she's just not a huge star. It might be because she just doesn't want to be a big star. But she's... I just think she's incredibly beautiful and hard to not look at when you see Sarita Chaudhary on air. Isn't she really beautiful? And of course, we see what's happening here.
Oh, boy. Well, yes, what happened in this scene was it was looking good at this point. and it was interesting how she, you know, in that moment, she put herself out there in a way that was she might not have done earlier. I feel like they're both kind of taking risks. And she put herself out there to get the, you know, the dream that she, the dream job that she could have always, that she always wanted, to, you know, working for this man who she knew his name instantly. So, you know, someone who she recognized and would have loved to to work with.
Emmett Schwab, sure.
And so when she said, "I'd like to be considered," I was shocked. And I was like, good for you.
Right.
And, you know, how are you going to, I was thinking, like, practical terms, like, how is she going to do this and have the gallery and, and you know, be a mother? But I was like, good for her. Mm-hmm. I was really proud of her.
It's been subtle, her transformation.
Because
if you've noticed, the very first episode, it showed her really, like, with the big wool hat on and the big coat. And they're kind of, she's shedding her layers little by little. She's looking more and more, like, glamorous and beautiful and alive. And you see this in this exchange where she just goes for it. Her friend Courtney is just like, this would be perfect for me. Why not? And she's so cute the way she does it because she says, I'd like to be considered. She's like, of course, I would put myself up because we know that Frances is a headhunter. Mm-hmm. And she said, you know, I don't want to be immodest. Like she's very, you can tell this is a person that's not used to being out there.
Right. She's kind of like apologizing after every sentence.
Yeah.
It's interesting that you said shedding because this was there was the snake in this episode and there's such symbolism with the snake, like shedding your skin and becoming someone new.
Way to go, Hayes.
Yeah, it was really, really interesting to me. And you're right because she's picking out her outfit and then we see her walking down. It was Bryant, I think it was near Bryant Park, I recognized it. And I was like, I love this moment of her walking down the street, her beautiful hair, which is always beautiful. And she gets she notices that she's noticed by a guy and it gives her such confidence. And then she has the confidence to say, you know, she's going to go for it.
Of course. And anytime we can see Sarah Jessica Parker walking down a city street in a fabulous outfit, we will take it.
It makes everyone feel alive.
It does. It really does. And that is a great little scene where she checks out a guy and she can, mm-hmm. you see that moment because she's been married for many, many years. Mm-hmm. And finally, she kind of has the freedom to be able to check out a guy and he checks her out back.
Yes.
And he's cute.
Yes.
And it's just like, yes. I mean, everybody can relate to that. It's mm-hmm. not a bad feeling. So.
No.
And of course, this episode is broken up with a little bit of Diane and her husband. Of course, Diane is bathing her husband because she's been all in love with him again after, you know, she shot him and everything. And she's giving him like a naughty bath. And of course, that inspires him to talk about kids, which
yes.
she's just clearly completely not into.
He said, you know, you'd be a great mom.
Uh-huh.
And she was like, huh? And he said, you know, you always wanted to adopt. Clearly, she doesn't anymore, and
right.
maybe she was just saying that back then. Who knows? Because I don't get any maternal instincts from her at all.
She's
and she was
disgusted by that idea.
Disgusted. And while they were bathing, you know, while she was bathing him, they were having such a funny exchange. And mm-hmm. I was like, I wonder when the last time they were like that was. If ever, probably before they were married. And then who knows what happened in the evolution of their relationship
right.
that maybe... She never wanted kids. She just wanted to have a husband who does well and just kind of enjoy herself.
Right.
And maybe she would say she wanted to adopt and he'd be like, no, I already have two kids. But now this tragic event happened and he has this whole new perspective that he wants to kind of give back. And she has this whole new perspective that she's happy just the two of
yes,
them.
Yes, exactly.
It's really interesting what a major life event can do, like almost dying can
it
do
is.
For people.
It is. And especially... You're talking about she might have said in the past that she wanted kids. And of course, we talk about this every week. We talk about how people change, and that's the biggest problem. What you might have wanted at 18 is different than 25. What you might have wanted at 25 different than 35, and so on and so on. Or she
exactly.
also might have just said it on a whim. We
right.
sometimes say things on a whim, and if you've ever had this happen, and you say something on a whim, and it's like... And it's held like it was a damn contract. You might have had a few drinks and you're like, oh, I would have loved to have been an architect. And someone was like, you've always wanted to be an architect. I'm like, oh, maybe for 5 minutes, like in 1998.
Right.
You know what I mean? So that is funny.
That's so true. That's true. She's her character seems so flighty to me, but you're so right that people change. I always say, like, thank God I didn't marry who I was dating when I was 25.
Yeah.
Thank God I didn't marry who I was dating when I was 29, because I would definitely be divorced. I have completely realized that the things I wanted have
yeah.
changed over the years, and that could absolutely be what's happened with them, too, because it's just a normal,
yeah.
it's very normal.
It is normal. I think this is one of the biggest issues, and I always have a saying, and I say good friends make great husbands.
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously you have to be attracted to them, you have to be in love with them, but a good friend is a good friend. So assuming that you're going to change dramatically through the
mm-hmm.
course of your life, sometimes people don't want you to change.
Right.
Friends don't mind you changing.
Right.
And that's, I think, really important, because often people want you to remain who you were.
Mm-hmm.
They want you to remain that same person, and they'll actually get upset if you change, because it impacts their ability to maybe have fun with you
yes.
or what they want you as. And they want you to be a certain thing. And I always thought that's kind of really selfish.
Exactly.
You know? And
it is.
It is hard, though. I mean, it's not like we get in certain roles and then we get very... we want what we want. I'll say that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and people are threatened by seeing someone else change if
mm-hmm.
they're not changing or whatever the change is.
Right.
I've seen it in my own life, not to get too personal, but
right.
I changed careers and people were like, what's wrong with you?
Right.
Nothing. And if you're my friend, you're going to be like, good for you, not what's wrong with you. But that's okay, because, you know, people, they relate to you in only the way they know how. So... okay, for them it was difficult. Or
right.
my husband and I don't want children.
Right.
That is so hard for people to accept.
It does not.
And
compute,
I don't mind,
right?
Like, people can ask me, you know, when do you want to have kids?
Mm-hmm.
And I have no problem like saying, like, oh, and you know, we chose not to have them.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to be okay with the answer. That's my thing. So that was a hard thing for friends to accept.
Right.
I have to quit it with the quotes, and I apologize. I have a quote for every episode. I am so sorry, but you reminded me of, there is a great writer. His name's Steve Maraboli, and he has the best quotes. You should follow him on Twitter. And he says, new levels bring new devils. So as you change, as you evolve, and you go up levels, there are people that come out of the woodwork that you thought were your friends, that you thought were supporting you, that you might find aren't. And that's okay. That's
right.
That's their... that's their lesson to be learned. But you have to keep evolving. Don't let, don't be held back by, you have to make the right decisions that are right for you and not to be held back by friends who are threatened by your life decisions or a partner, in this case, Nick and Diane.
If that's very important what you're talking about, because that does happen. And I think that can leave people because they can be effectively guilt tripped.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Do you understand? Yes. And there's something about owning your life. And I know that almost sounds cliche, but if you feel like you have a right to your life and your happiness at a very deep level, you will be able to shed those people much quickly. Mm-hmm. And even though you might not see it now, new people will come out of the woodwork.
Yeah.
Honestly, people that are more suitable for who you are. So thank you so much for bringing...
It's so true. There are 7 billion people on the planet. Like, you don't have to be friends with the people you were friends with years ago. Like, you can outgrow people. But Diane and Nick, it's going to be so interesting to see their relationship continue, because now he has this new perspective and he's changing and she doesn't want to change. And it's going to be interesting to see if they're really true friends, if there's a true friendship in this marriage. Can they work past it?
Yeah. And I do have to give a shout out. If you are joining us live on YouTube, we would love for you to join us in the chat. Shout out any questions, any insights, anything. We would love to hear from you. And of course, I can't believe I missed our dear panelist. If you're used to seeing 4 of us here, Oriana Leo, who I am substituting for her. She is away, but she will be back next week. And Miriam Gonzalez, for the next 2 episodes, she will be out because of awesome work commitments. Mm-hmm. So we wish the best of them, but we will have a new face for you next week. And of course, Oriana will be back here in the hot seat. So a little interlude there. So I know this is so funny about relationships, because then we get to see Dallas and Francis just innocently driving along when they see guess who at a church.
At a church, looking good for once. Mm-hmm. Like, I forget what Dallas said. She's like...
He doesn't look horrible.
Yeah.
High praise.
Right. And he's with the kids at church and she's just totally baffled. And it's like such a betrayal, because obviously they had never talked about religion, you know, raising the kids a certain religion. This was so off the wall to her that it really felt like they caught him with another woman, like, or something. It felt like such a betrayal.
And she just can't make sense of it. And that's where the humor is subtle. And it's not hammy. Again, you know, shout out to the writers for doing that subtlety and getting this tone just right in this episode, where she's like, is there a bake sale? Is he getting his car washed? Like, what the hell is he doing at a church?
Genius writing.
So it is very, very well. And of course, we see the next few scenes. We see Robert being super dad. Breakfast in the diner, and then of course taking the kids to the archery range,
asking a million questions, like, did he ever care that much before? It doesn't seem like it.
And the kids seem stoked, though. We see them in the past, we don't see the kids a lot, but they usually seem somewhat blasé and just like, oh my god, get me away from these nutbag parents of mine. But they're actually really excited. And you see Robert hugging his kids. He's actually being super dad, and it seems real. Did it strike you like that?
It seemed a little like overdone.
Right.
It was a little, because I was like, I wrote, did he ever care before? And then the kids are like, are you all right? Like, they were into it. And then they were like, are you all right, dad? But it was funny when the son was like, yeah, father might give a benediction.
That was hilarious.
That was also genius writing. I was cracking up. So I took it as he's going overboard. Like, he's trying a little too hard.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Because he wants, you know, we always kind of bag on Robert, this character, a little bit, but there is sincerity in him, even though we do make fun of him a little bit. It would stand to reason that he's sincerely looking for meaning and connection in his life, and that would include children and a lot of people turning to faith to say, you know, what is this all about? Because so much of our lives, our everyday lives, are swept away in the urgency of the day, assuming you have kids and you don't have kids or you have a career. And then when things get taken from you, whether it is a job, whether it is family members or a breakup, you start going, wait a second. I just scramble around like, you know, a mouse every day in a maze. Like, what is this really
about?
What's
the meaning of it all? Right, yes. Yeah.
Hence, his churches will always be valuable spiritual places. Yes. Churches or synagogues or temples or whatever you choose. And it is funny when we see Francis talking to Dallas.
Yes.
Who, of course, we know works as a mental health professional.
Yes.
And we see them hanging out, just having a glass of wine, which, again, great friends helping mm-hmm. you through breakup. It's one of those right. great scenes that they craft, having a glass of wine.
Right. So real.
Talking mm-hmm. to your friend. And, of course, it's really great that she's, like, works as a mental health person.
Right.
And she, we hear Frances confessing that Robert seems like he is doing great. And that makes her kind of uneasy.
Uh-huh. She was like, she said, it makes me unhappy. I wrote it down. I'm not happy that he's happy.
Yeah.
And even before that, Dallas said, maybe he's doing it on purpose, kind of to piss you off. And she, you know, she admitted it. I'm not happy that he's happy.
Yeah. Very, yeah. very funny.
Which is very real, too, because we've kind of all been there where even if you're the breaker
uh-huh.
and not the broken, it, you know, it's, it could hurt. I can imagine it would hurt yeah. to see someone just move on so quickly or seem to be perfectly all right.
Yes, and we even see that, you know, when people are just kind of being funny and they're in little breakups, you know, and they'll be yeah. like, oh, girl, I got to go out to the club to show yes. him, like, I'm looking great. I'm having so much fun, like, glasses up. It's
right.
like one of those things that we're, like, perpetually in elementary school.
We want right, to rub right, someone's right, exactly.
nose, whether we feel horrible or whether we feel
exactly. It doesn't matter how mature you are. Like, you can see this established, successful woman who's been married and has two kids, and she's like, it's pissing me off that he's happy. Like,
I know.
We're still kind of there.
Right, right. It's like if you're watching this as a teenager and you're thinking that grown-ups, like, have it
figured out.
And that we, like, act in rational ways, it just doesn't happen. But there is a funny little interlude in here. As you know, Dallas does have a son, Cole,
yes.
and they've had some kind of on and off. And Cole has a girlfriend named Riley. And we see this kind of, like, brazen, insouciant-looking, like, teenager walking around the house, like, very much like she owns the place, wearing boys' boxer shorts. And she just kind of acts like she owns the place. And she's just uh-huh. like, introduces herself to Frances and Dallas. She's like, hi, I'm Riley, Cole's girlfriend. And it is so funny because Dallas is like, oh, look at her. She's a slut. It is hilarious. I don't know about you, but that behavior would not have flown in my house as a teenager.
No way. Oh, my God. I mean, as a girl, I would never do that in someone else's house. I would, like,
ever
put clothes on and
yeah.
be respectful. And in my, right, like, if someone did that in my parents' house, they'd be like, who are we bringing home?
Yeah, I would not be alive at this juncture.
No,
you know, that
no
was just
way.
So not allowed. And it is kind of funny, again, to be personal for a minute. I remember summer house, my brother actually, who was an adult, brought a longtime girlfriend home, and they actually slept in the same bed. They had gotten to the house really late. And my father, like, was very, very upset with my brother. And he actually, I kind of really liked that he did this. You know, at the time,
yeah.
I was kind of just like, well, but he said, you know, like, that's really disrespectful to do to your mother. Like,
right.
he found that very disrespectful because
right.
they weren't married or engaged.
Oh.
So I'm, like, from a really old school family.
Okay, that's
but, like,
very
cohabitation out of, like, you know, bringing, like, a girlfriend home and, like, shacking up with her in your parents'
house
was, like, no bueno in
right.
my house. So.
And I just thought her behavior was so, she was so not warm. Like, show some respect by being, like, I don't know. She just had an attitude about her. She
right.
said she's rubbing her scent all over.
Rubbing her scent. And as we know from the history that Dallas has with Cole, that, is, again, it's a divorce situation.
Yes.
And sometimes Cole is not living with Dallas. So I think that this happens in divorces where sometimes children are holding their parents hostage. Because
mm-hmm.
it's like, if you want me to come live with you,
mm-hmm.
it's going to be like this. I'm going to be smoking pot.
Right.
There's going to be girls walking around.
Right.
And you kind of have to, like, Dallas is probably in a position where she has to, like, put up or shut up. Like, she
right.
can't say anything and kind of let this happen. So.
Right, it's so sad.
Yeah, it is a very, very sad one. But again, an episode where so much was covered
yeah.
so quickly. And, of course, we have to get to the idea of the job offer.
Ugh.
This was really sad because if you saw the episode, we know that Frances, this is a dream job and that she's very much in the running and very much probably going to get it.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea is there is an offer and what
mm-hmm.
happens.
And even Dallas' delivery, I mean, she didn't mean it. I don't think she meant it intentionally, but she
no.
said, how much, you know, how much money? And she said, yeah, I don't want to talk about money, but it's very good. And then Dallas says, minus Robert's half,
right.
which never occurred
mm-hmm.
to Frances. And it was just like, God, like, what bad timing. Like, couldn't she get this job, like, a year later? Or
right.
couldn't she have gotten it? Well, whatever. But I felt so sorry for her because I was like, what a What a damper.
Well, we know that you are an attorney, in yes. addition to being an author and a host and other things we probably don't know about. So this would make sense that this would be considered, if I just won the lottery and I had not yet filed or mm-hmm. been divorced, it would be considered joint assets in most states, right?
I don't, yeah, it depends on the state, right. and I know they're in New York. And I can't, I should have looked it up, but I can't remember exactly. But what her lawyer was saying seemed to make sense, that she, it's like she's the man in this. This has right. happened to men for years.
Yes,
like, people
it
talk
has.
About Bethany Frankel having to, you know, her ex-husband lives in her apartment that she worked her whole life for. That has happened to men forever.
Yes.
It's just a fact. They were married and now he's, you know, the non-breadwinner is in the marital home, and it just, it happens. But in New York, I'm pretty sure it's, you know, what's yours is yours and what's mine is mine, you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
So it could be, who knows? I don't know the law in New York. I should have looked it up. I'm sorry.
And we do have a funny, we do have Dirty Deeds in the chat who talks about this being very much of a chick show, but I would have to disagree. Yes, there is a heavy female element here, but it really does talk about guys quite a bit.
Because, it does.
We do see that, jumping ahead a little bit, you see Robert with his church group, and you see that he does what he just can't help but do. He confesses in that he's just he talks about Francis being somebody who cheated on him. And mm-hmm. of course he does it in his typically uncouth, unthought out, uh-huh. really inappropriate way.
Yes.
But it is funny because when people are cheated on, they have a big desire to out the person.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And this is really funny because I was reading about one of my areas of specialty is communication. So I'm always fascinated about us as humans and why we do what we do. And one of the reasons we actually gossip or we will talk behind somebody's back is because if I'm gossiping about someone, let's say to you, I want you to help me with this problem, or I want to just let off steam.
Uh-huh.
So in a sense, Robert is outing and shaming Francis.
Uh-huh.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it totally makes sense. And it sounds...
He wants to hurt her, and this is how he's doing it. He's going to smear her to like, upright people.
Right. And is there an element of, like, it could be that he wants people to say, why would she cheat on you? Like, you seem so wonderful.
Right.
Like, kind of, he wants to feel better.
Right.
We talk about things, we communicate to understand and to feel better, right? And so I think he does it maybe to feel better, and maybe like you're saying, he wants them to be like, what a bad person,
to validate.
Like, yes, she is.
And so someone's going to be a victim and someone's going to be a villain, and
right.
he's definitely like doubling down on being the victim here and her being the villain.
Like he said in episode one, he's the Sandra Bullock and she's the Jesse James.
Exactly. And you know, you have to be really careful because once you kind of put mm-hmm. something out there about somebody else mm-hmm. and brand them, that you can never bring it back.
Right. Because if they reconcile and he brings her to his new church, now everybody knows.
Right. I've often said, just as a piece of advice, if you have a really good friend who's like kvetching about their husband or boyfriend or mom, be very, very careful about piling on.
Yes.
You can be a nice ear, but if you ever like agree with them, like, yeah, he is like a big idiot, your husband's a jerk, I can't believe he did that to you, you will hear forever, I know you know your friend will come back and say,
exactly.
I know you think he's a jerk, because they will probably stay together, and you will be outed as the person who thinks he's a jerk, even if you were just being a sweetheart and just like helping your friend.
Exactly. All of his misgivings will be forgotten, but she'll always remember what you said about
him. I know that one time right. when you were just trying to get her to shut up.
You're disagreeing with her.
Yeah. Okay. Yes, he is. White flag. Your mom's horrible. She's the devil's spawn, even though I don't think that.
Right,
I'll
exactly.
agree with you. You were beaten and put in a broom closet.
Curious, if I can ask Dirty Deeds.
Yeah.
If he was ever cheated on, I'm assuming he's a man, if he was ever cheated on, and how, like, I'm curious how men deal with it if they're watching this show, if they would do the same thing and lash out to people, to strangers, essentially. I'm curious.
It is. That would be really interesting to know. As we started the show, it is different for girls
and it's
different for guys. But so back to the episode, how bummed were you when it got so messy with Frances and she couldn't take the job?
Oh my God. When she walked in and was giving her pitch, you know, her idea, I was like, shut up.
Same here.
I was thinking, what is she doing?
Right.
She went from prime candidate to, it was so obvious that they were like, let's never have anything to
do
with this person
again.
Right,
like this is
again.
Just messy.
Messy, unstable, unprofessional,
right.
not together. She just ruined it. And I felt so I felt so confused. Like, what are you doing? Just right. take the job. Give him half. Uh-huh. And by the way, our producer pointed out that New York is a 50-50 state.
Oh, New York, thank you so much, producer.
So, just deal with it, because this is your dream job, isn't it? You know, time is your mm-hmm. most valuable. You can spend your time doing exactly what you want, so you have to give him half, whatever. But deal with it. Now she ruined it and ruined future context and future, but just acting like a lunatic.
But here's the funny thing. I was with her the whole time because I saw her intent. You know, Frances wanted just to be straight with them. She wanted to work something out. She didn't think it was a big deal. But when you are kind of talking about messy, emotional, personal situations with work people, it just got, you saw how the mm-hmm. conversation steamrolled. It just kept getting more and more exactly. complex as it went along. And even exactly. I'm not even following it after a while. So, yeah, a note to us all. We have to zippy. Like, don't even talk about
honestly,
it. Honestly. It was sad. And she not only sad. Lost the job, you saw that yes. she calls her friend Courtney, the beautiful Sarita Chidari, and basically, you know, Courtney doesn't really want to hang out with her, and they don't really want her not only as a candidate, but as a headhunter.
Right, so she lost the client and the job.
Yes, bummer all the way around. Very, very messy
divorces. Yeah, it was
divorces.
Really sad. Oh, I felt so bad for her, but I was just like, she should know better. I thought she was smart. That was like a Robert move. Robert would be dumb enough to do that. Like, she's smarter than that.
I don't know. That's the thing, you know. Oh, mistakes. When things are so muddled and complicated and you want something, you know, and a conversation that can start off very simple mm-hmm. can get so complicated
yeah.
because she's trying to just make something work for both of them. And they're asking
yeah.
her questions like, well, are you pregnant? And she's like, no. And he's like, Emmett Schwab, her potential new employer, is asking her, are you sick? And she's like, no. And so you kind of have to get into it. And uh-huh. since she didn't have like a prepared, neatly packaged little monologue to
no.
tell them, it immediately gets really, 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 really mm-hmm. Messy. So,
and it didn't help that he wasn't also divorced. Because I think that might have helped a little bit if he'd gone through a messy divorce and understood or something, right?
Right.
No.
Because his wife is also deceased, and we see
just
Emmett
like,
saying
so
that.
Awful.
Yeah, does not work. And then, of course, at the end of the episode, we come to kind of like the piece de resistance. How's that for bad French? We see Robert crashing Julian's, not just his lecture, but kind of confronting him. And if you've seen recent episodes of the show, we see that Julian is someone with whom Frances had a fling.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of more than a fling, an affair.
Yeah,
with.
she wanted to be with him.
Yep, and Julian, as we can see all the time, Julian does this. He's a serial womanizer,
mm-hmm.
and he likes to hook up with married chicks.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, he's giving this great, very funny lecture about Eakins. He works at a university. And, of course, his prose is so funny because he's just showing pictures of Eakins' nudes and talking about, like, their bodies. It's hilarious. And we see Robert coming, you know, giving his two cents as well. What did you think of this?
I thought it was hysterical. I'm like, oh, my God. This scene was almost like it had to happen at some point. He's a professor. Like, it had to be written that Robert would show up at one of his lectures and just do something buffoonish. But it took such a dark turn that I didn't expect
yeah.
after that with
yeah,
the
that
gun.
Yeah, that was weird.
It was so weird.
Right. And I think the phrase of the week, however, is when Robert asks Julian a question about a painting, and he said, was it an object de perverted animal desire when he's talking about this painter? So that was hilarious. He keeps thinking that Julian is French, and
oh
Julian
God,
is either South
hysterical.
African or British. It's
mm-hmm.
kind of like the mystery meat. We're not
right.
quite sure. We will find out before the end of this season. But we do see, of course, Robert confronting Julian in his house in a very dimly lit scene.
Yeah, was it that, or was it after the lecture?
After
I could be,
the lecture.
Okay. Like, he, like, followed him, right?
And
then
right
he
the
gave him the gun and said, he took out the gun. I was like, oh my God, what are you doing? So they've both done stupid things in this episode, really stupid. And he said, you know what to do. What does that mean? What?
He's basically like,
kill yourself?
He should off himself because it's so tragic and it's so terrible what Julian has done. Meanwhile, Julian is almost doesn't even remember Frances's name because there's
honestly.
So many women.
Oh, honestly, I'll never forget when Julian said, how are the girls? She's a boy and a girl. Like, he does not
right.
care about her. He was nothing. She was nothing to him. And, oh, Robert, like, what are you doing?
I
like,
know.
This took it to a whole nother level of where, like, Julian could call the police and be like, now.
Right, right. It was very passive aggressive too, because of course we see Robert, who gives him a gun, basically insinuates that he should, you know, away with himself, and then he tells him that he forgives him, and he tells, you know, because Robert has been quote unquote being spiritual, and so he tells Julian just immediately after that he should, you know, away with himself, that indeed Robert forgives him for sleeping with his wife, and he gives him a big hug. So very passive aggressive.
Just like Jesus would do. Forgive you, and take a gun and go kill yourself.
Yes, very, very, it's a very bizarre scene.
So bizarre. Really out of the tone of the rest of the show and the series. I was like, this is really crossing the line. Like, Julian should call the police.
Right, and it's odd because we keep waiting for, I was expecting something more from Julian, and Julian just takes off.
Yeah, he's such a coward. Such a, like, little weasel.
He is a weasel, and he just kind of doesn't care, though. We see this time and time again with Julian.
Yeah, so maybe this isn't the first time a jealous husband has given him a gun and told him.
And you know what? It really was a strange scene. And then, you know, the episode kind of ends up where it started. Mm-hmm. Again, we see people grappling with loneliness and, mm-hmm. you know, moving on with their lives. Mm-hmm. And of course we see this sequence where we see Francis reading a book, because that's what mm-hmm. we would do,
right?
So, you know, a woman would do something like that, and just kind of looking out the window and really pondering what is going on with mm-hmm. her life. I'm so bummed she didn't get that job.
Me too.
I was thinking she'd have like this big glamorous new chapter. Yes, fabulousness. Yes. And a great job.
Yes,
because she does talk so much about a job, having a job that would be very fun and something that would really fulfill her personal passions for once. So we hope that does come along for her.
Right.
And then we see Robert alone, of course, in his house, in the house that he's working on, and you see him actually injecting something.
What was he injecting?
He was injecting testosterone.
Oh, right. We're wondering what he's doing. He puts it back in the refrigerator.
Yeah, he's lonely doing his kickboxing.
Yes.
And we see him, of course, just alone doing mm-hmm. his thing. And I think they did a really great job. And Claire is actually joining us in the chat, and she talks about the acting being really good, but the show can be bizarre, and it's very serious that it's slapstick comedy. So it is this kind of back and forth. It's a very different show than we've seen.
It is. It's not like anything I've watched. I watch too much reality TV, so I should probably not talk, but I love Girlfriend's Guide to Divorce. I love mm-hmm. The Royals on E! And I love this show, and it is different than a lot of other things. Certainly different than Sex and the City. Mm-hmm. The tone is, Claire described it as, it can be jarring. I can see how that can be, and I think it was more jarring in the beginning.
Yes.
Because sometimes you have to be, the show kind of has to teach you what they're going for, mm-hmm. and it kind of takes a couple episodes, and I think it's gotten smoother, I think.
It has gotten smooth. That's a really good way to put it. And kudos to Sarah Jessica Parker, who mm-hmm. has been in show business her whole life. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't know if you followed her career. She was Annie as a little tiny thing. So she's been on Broadway. She's been on TV. And she's trying something very, very different. And I think mm-hmm. it's a great, kind of very inspirational for all of us. And a lot about this show has been about being very different and being out of your comfort zone, whether it's making these big colossal mistakes that we saw in episode 8.
Right, yeah.
Because you know what? This is the situation. There's an experience base that we just don't have in certain parts of our life and in emotional areas. If you're going through a divorce that you never expected to go through, you have no experience doing that before.
Right.
So you're going to make mistakes, and sometimes you'll make huge colossal mistakes, but it's not the end of the world, you know? And I like that there is kind of a comedic bent, because you know what? Yes, she kind of misses out on the job of her dreams. Maybe something better will come along.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like, that's the thing. There's a certain element of forgiveness.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and we sometimes, it's easy to be kind of on the outskirts, like we have the luxury of doing, and saying, oh, I would have done A, B, C, and D.
Right.
But,
that's
so
true.
You know, in the end, it's like a dark room and we're just trying to find out where the furniture is.
Yeah,
you
that's
know?
So true. And it all always works out.
It does. And I cannot believe it is episode 8. There are 10 episodes in this season, so we only have 2 more left. So we do hope you guys are going to stay with us, because the finale, which of course is in 2 weeks, is going to be great. There's so many of the writers, like Hayes Davenport, who are going to be part of that, and I believe we're going to have a special guest as well. But before we wrap up, I would love to just kind of get your, have you heard about any news or gossip?
Well, I'm always following Sarah Jessica on all social media because I'm a psycho. She really is just on Instagram. But I think she was on something recent. I try to tape everything that she DVR everything that she's on, but she's been on so many good podcasts. Like she was on Marc Maron and she was on Chris Hardwick's podcast, and she is so. The way she talks about her life and how everything's... Oh, and she was on Andy's show, Andy Cohen's show on Sirius. She's just so interesting. Like, she's really such an actress with such depth. Everyone has depth once you get to know them. But the way she just talks about her life and her career, and she's so gracious and so grateful. I could just listen to her for... I hope she does more in podcast interviews because she's great to listen to.
Yeah, she does. She's a great interviewee. And... also, she's been doing kind of the late night rounds as well, and I just happened to see some kind of candids of her, you know, kind of going in and out of the studios. And she has her style's been really evolving too, which I think she looks great. And she's one of those women that I just think it's great in the sense that she is very much of a public woman, and she's got to be, I think, maybe approaching 50.
See, I think she's like 52 or 53.
And she looks beautiful and she looks glamorous. And I love how, particularly in this show, we always see her in natural light and we see a face that has so much character, and we don't see this a lot, I think, in mainstream Hollywood products. We see it, I see it much more in European shows that I like to watch, where they are not afraid to put the camera very close up on a beautiful face with a lot of expression. And it, when you see that more and more, you actually start to develop more of a taste and appreciation where you start to see the beauty, because this is an area that has been underrepresented because often your eye is just not used to it.
Right.
It's kind of like when you see a larger size model. Since we're seeing more and more of that, you get to get your eye trained more to the beauty, the aesthetics of different types of figures and different faces. And so I love that Sarah Jessica Parker is really representing mature, beautiful women.
Right. She is... You said it perfectly. No wonder you study communications, because you face things so beautifully. I couldn't have said it better.
No, and so I think this is, I think she's leading the path in that way. And she's
I just love her face.
Job.
I love everything she does. Everything. Like, she just, everything she wears, the way she presents herself, she's just like a beautiful soul. I just love her.
Yes, she is. She's very vivacious and fun. Mm-hmm. And also, Talia Shire, she was actually someone we got to interview.
If you check us out on
YouTube, AfterBuzz, we did a great interview. She was just very generous. And she's another one of gals I love. She's been working for decades professionally as an actress, came from a Broadway family, a performance family, and she's another woman. Whenever I see her, I just love her face. I think she's just beautiful. And if you personally, I think that with time, she gets more beautiful and more interesting to watch. Because I've seen some of her early.
And you guys interviewed Thomas Hayden Church.
Thomas Hayden Church, who was hilarious and who was such a great guy. And who he is such a kind of accessible, funny, you know, just completely unpretentious sense about him. And he was, again, very, very generous, very established actors that we kind of reach out to, and we talk about their show, and they come on and they just will give us tons of time.
It's amazing.
And be very, very open and candid about who they are in this.
It's so amazing.
We really appreciate it. And Thomas Hayden Church did mention when we interviewed him that he is very collaborative in terms of the dialogue. And so that is something that was part of his, you know, agreement to be part of this show. So he's collaborative. So his natural kind of speaking voice is very apparent when you talk to him and interview him. And then you see his character, Robert. There's a certain cadence and a certain rhythm.
That's so funny, because I could picture him like changing the dialogue to be himself, to make it funnier in his delivery.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because his delivery is hilarious. His turns of phrases are quite funny. And he delivers them very differently than anybody else.
My husband was walking through the room while I was watching it last week when she said, and you're going to do something with a jumpy house. And he was like, first of all, it's called Fun Space. And my husband, who doesn't watch the show, is laughing. I'm like, you can tell it's like well written. But I think that also has to do with him as an actor.
Yeah, very much
very
so.
Very funny.
Well, we are going to be closing out this little recap we've been doing of episode 8. We are so excited that everybody joined us. And we have to ask little predictions. It's prediction time here.
So next week, we watched the previews together, and it looked like...
Predictions.
Yes, it looked like, again with the male and female role, that he was saying, I pick them up from school, I drop them off. Well, that's because she has the more demanding job, and we're seeing a woman taking on kind of what was traditionally the man's role, and vice versa. So that'll be interesting. That'll be an interesting discussion next week.
Again, and it's reflected in society as well, because men are not staying in the same roles that they have, likewise for women. But I think that there has been, and it's good to see, like, an emancipation of what men are supposed to be, because I was actually reading about these guys that do such a great job of being, like, the stay-at-home dads, and they do it brilliantly. I mean, guys can really, really pick up this job and do a wonderful time with it. So anyway, my prediction is that I think that they are actually going to stay divorced. Throughout this whole season, we have been talking about, you know, we kind of secretly hope that they'll come together because they loved each other and they're a part of each other's life for so long. But I kind of think that they are going to find their own way and it is going to work out.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I question whether they'll come back together.
I just don't know. Every week I'm like, oh, maybe they will, maybe they don't. I don't know.
Yeah, this one did not bode very well for it. Just because, again, they're so different. But they seem to be maybe finding their legs a little bit after this huge, colossal life change. Like we all do.
Yeah, you know? Maybe you're right. So maybe they didn't do marriage so well, but maybe they'll do divorce great.
Yeah, and maybe it'll afford them the ability to really kind of reach their own individual destinies, right?
Yes, yes.
You know?
That's what it's all about.
It is. Thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. Do join us next week. By all means, leave your comments, questions, conundrums in the chat, and we'll hope to get to them next week. Thank you so much.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.